Today on CityCast Pittsburgh. It's getting warmer, sunnier, finally, and we've got our fingers crossed over here for no more floods. And if you've been getting out more, you may have noticed that the nightlife in Pittsburgh has shifted. Since the pandemic and since dating apps hit the scene, some of our most popular nightclubs have closed. We're bringing back this conversation with City Paper's Colin Williams about what happened to our clubs and where you can still go dancing in the city right now. It's Wednesday, April 17th. I'm Megan Harris, and here's what Pittsburgh's talking about. Colin, I want to know, were you a partier?
So I caught the golden age of Pittsburgh's nightlife like at the very, very end of it, I would say. I did used to be a DJ.
I did not know that about
yes,
you.
I was into house music and trance music and things like that in like the late aughts and early 2010s. So I was kind of more familiar with things from the other side of the turntables. And there is, you know, there is kind of a cultural time that is long past that I still somewhat mourn, but you know, I'm also a little more settled down now and less inclined to go out until 2 a.m.
Yeah, I think we could generously refer to ourselves as mid-career now.
Yeah.
Is there a club in Pittsburgh that you maybe miss the most?
You know, I never was really a patron of like the bigger clubs in Pittsburgh, so I can't say that any of those are really, you know, I moved to town in 2015, and so I was kind of past the prime for like Metropole and Laga and some of those places. There are a few venues that closed, like Howlers, that used to host really good shows that I do miss. More than that, though, I mean, I just miss, you know, some of the smaller venues that closed. So I guess, yeah, to answer your question, not really any of the larger nightclubs, but just more of the smaller kind of like dingy concert halls that don't exist anymore.
Oh, the dingier, the better. I think my favorite one when I first got to town was RIP Rum Shakers on Carson Street. If anyone listening ever went in that place, you have just learned a lot about my personality in a certain era. The floors were sticky. The bathrooms almost never worked. I loved it. It was my spiritual home in 2013.
Oh, nice. Yeah, there's a certain element of Carson Street that really doesn't exist anymore. Although I do think that's one of the livelier night spots still going in Pittsburgh right now.
Yeah. So in City Paper, you pay homage to a bunch of bars and clubs of yesteryear. You mentioned a bunch: Extaza, Club Zoo, Electric Banana, which I forgot existed, Matrix. You probably name dropped 24, I think, over the course of this story. What do you think it was about these spaces that made them so special for people?
The one thing that was a really common thread among all of the people that I spoke to for this story was that they felt that the clubs back then were really, really inclusive, that the dress clubs were kind of set a low enough threshold that nobody felt like they were excluded for reasons of style, for reasons of race, maybe for dressing more flamboyantly, whatever the case may have been there. And once inside, those clubs really did welcome a broad spectrum of people. There was a great variety of music happening. And I think one of the things that also kind of made this all sort of a perfect storm in a good way for club goers back then in Pittsburgh is the fact that so many of these clubs were close together. So if you were out with your friends and one of your friends wanted more of a house kind of dancing night, you could go to a club for that, and then immediately hop next door to the gay bar and go check out some different tunes, or go catch a hip hop DJ at the club next door. So, you know, Metropole and Rosebud were kind of a pair for a long time. And Xavier Thomas in my story talked a lot about how Extaza and Room 16 were this sort of complementary pair. There's a gay bar right down the street. There are other clubs right nearby. There's Club Zoo for the underage folks. So there really just used to be, I think, a lot more concentration of nightclubs. And that's one of the biggest things I think that's changed in Pittsburgh in the last 10 years in particular.
Well, so what happened to all of these spaces that we had, at least, you know, like historically? I know there was a lot of shifting, of course, with Pittsburgh in the 70s, 80s, 90s. But why did so many of them go away kind of from that period of like the 90s to the 2000s?
I think there's kind of a combination of different factors that contributed to that. I mean, one is just the way that neighborhoods have changed and the way that, you know, kind of patterns of going out and seeking out a good evening in the city have changed. You know, Lawrenceville did not used to be a destination.
True.
East Liberty did not used to be the destination that it is today. And in some cases, I think those neighborhoods' success has come at the expense of other places like Station Square. You know, Station Square was one of the first, like, let's take this old industrial ground and turn it into something that is really like a nightlife complex. And as, you know, I think as time has gone on, people have been seeking out different nightlife spots, but also just spreading out their money through the city a little bit more. The other thing is there has been, you know, some clubs have really faulted their clientele. If you look at some of the clubs in Pittsburgh that are still open, many of them have dress codes that include things like no sagging pants, no baseball caps, no athletic apparel, things of that nature. A lot of these things tend to be fairly, I think, anti-black coded in some cases. And, you know, there have been incidents like the sort of infamous Foxtail viral video or the Skybar viral video.
Skybar is above Foxtail. The video itself is pretty lewd, but it is still out there. Anyway, on the south side.
Yeah, both like on the heart of in the heart of Carson Street. And immediately following those incidents, the proprietors of Skybar basically said that their clientele was not desirable anymore, that they were attracting the wrong kind of people. And Skybar remains closed while Foxtail has reopened with a much stricter dress code in place. So in some ways, I think there was a perception with some of these clubs that the partying, you know, had gotten out of control, or perhaps that the clubs were attracting an element that the owners were not interested in having to in their establishments. And so a lot of the clubs that remained have really drilled down on formal, more formal dress codes, VIP packages, private rentals, and bottle service, which is
so
considerably
expensive.
More expensive. Yes. And therefore just kind of excludes a lot of people who would otherwise go to those clubs.
Hey, Pittsburgh, I want to tell you about a real Steel Town hero. Mary Caldwell Dawson was just the coolest. Not only was she the proprietress of that gorgeous Victorian mansion on Apple Street in Homewood, but inside it, she presided over the National Negro Opera Company. She founded guilds for other Black singers all over the nation and was a mentor for fellow opera singers from here to Washington, D.C. And lucky for you, our modern Pittsburgh opera has a new show celebrating her legacy. Get your tickets now for The Passion of Mary Caldwell Dawson at the Byam Theater through May 5th. Don't be nervous if you're new to opera. The show is in English, is just over an hour long, and features a little dialogue for you to follow along. Tickets start at just $15, and there are all kinds of discounts and special offers for students, teachers, seniors, and veterans. Get your tickets now for the Pittsburgh Opera. That's in our show notes and at pittsburghopera.org. What about some of the societal shifts that have come along with, you know, kind of this, like, I hate to say post-pandemic era, but like since 2020, like Gen Z is going out more. Millennials matter increasingly less and less in this way. And you don't really need like a club to meet people anymore. Like, I know that was a big part of the component way back when, but it's ain't in a thing anymore.
That last part is such a big thing, because now there's Tinder and Bumble and Hinge and Grindr and all these other ways that people can kind of arrange in advance to meet and sort of vet one another. Whereas I think there was a little bit more just kind of blind chance back in the day when it came to going out and meeting new people. You know, but more broadly, I think that there just are fewer people now who go out to dance, period. Like, it's not going out to dance. It's going out to enjoy a Taylor Swift night. It's going out to go to a queer-friendly dance party with a DJ that you like. It's going mm-hmm. to a specific destination for like a one-off, or going to a pop-up event, or going to a party that changes locations more regularly.
I've got to imagine like safety's got to be a big component in that. Like, I mean, since 2020, if I'm going to be that close to another person's body, I want to know that I'm going to be safe if I'm going to do it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, also when it comes to safety, people are just drinking less. Binge drinking is way down among younger cohorts. Gen Z is drinking less. They're showing some more preferences for mocktails, for cannabis-infused drinks, for hallucinogens in some cases. So the way that people are also getting Lesson. Intoxicated is changing a lot. And the bars that I think are actually doing really well are bars that are able to meet some of those folks where they are, that are providing a non-alcoholic list almost as comprehensive as their cocktail list, that are, you know, really focused on the safety of the queer community and will ban photos so that people can really kind of let it all hang out and not have to worry about popping up on social media the next day. So yeah, just the parameters I think have changed a lot in the last few years. And COVID certainly, some of the changes that were already in motion were really accelerated by COVID.
Yeah, yeah. So people here go to parties more than regular clubs. I think that's what I'm hearing. Like, we have a nightlife, we just don't go clubbing. Do you think it's a bad thing that we've, you know, evolved to have these like special sets or theme nights rather than like, I don't know, the regular Saturday night like blowout that we used to have?
I mean, I think it is a bad thing for some people. You know, as I've gotten older, my interests have shifted away from dance nights and more toward smaller concerts, daytime activities, going out to, you know, catch some sort of like themed party that might end at like 11 o'clock. But there, you know, there are still people who want to party and who want to have that kind of set yourself free on the dance floor moment.
Yeah.
And that isn't happening as much. But also, you know, one of the things that I heard from Xavier Thomas, one of my interview subjects, whose photography we also used in this story, is that there are many Black people in Pittsburgh who don't feel like there is nightlife for them in the same way that there used to be. And so whereas there used to be a much more kind of mixed crowd in the Strip, now you'll have these more fragmentary crowds at places like Spirit, Bottle Rocket, you know, maybe Tequila Cowboy on the North Shore. And then for folks who are more interested in like a hip hop night or more of like an urban style party, that is happening increasingly kind of off in the East End, and their clubs aren't all in one spot. So it's not the same vibe. And I think that just necessarily leaves some partiers out.
Well, in terms of catering to Black partygoers and people of color, how are the pop-up parties and dance night events doing? Are they popular, more inclusive maybe?
Yeah, I mean, what I'm hearing is that Hot Mass and Jellyfish as parties are still very inclusive, that there's a larger presence of BIPOC DJs than there used to be. You know, a lot of the old heads in Pittsburgh are white guys, like even the hip hop DJs. And, you know, Jellyfish is a very like queer friendly, like everyone is welcome space, like I would say not tolerant of intolerance kind of thing. You know, if you're looking for like a set that's mostly going to consist of Black artists, like you may have to find a particular DJ rather than looking for a particular club.
Absolutely. So I guess from your reporting, what spots do you think are worthy of a shout out in 2023? Like, what's getting the most love? Where are the cool kids going these days?
As an increasingly less cool kid, I'm not sure I'm the most qualified to speak to that, but I will say—
From your research, Colin.
From my reporting, you know, a lot of people are going to Spirit and Belvedere's in Lawrenceville. They have a number of nights like Belvedere's does. They've done roller skating. They've done goth nights. There's Club VIP in Larimer that's a little bit more focused on like hip hop and R&B. Cavo in the Strip is still kind of keeping that old Strip spirit alive. And in Southside, Foxtail is still doing their thing. Meanwhile, Enclave in Southside is kind of, I think, the biggest party destination in the city right now for that older school kind of clubbing.
Okay.
And that's in the former Rex Theater space. So it's smaller than what some of these older clubs used to be. You know, it's not a 2,000 capacity room like you would have had with like a Metropole, but it is, you know, 500 people. So it's still a pretty big crowd. And, you know, for my part as well, I would say concerts at places like Mr. Small's are always great. Stage AE is, you know, has one of the best sound systems of any concert venue in the region.
Club Cafe is maybe the most intimate space I have ever been in, if you are into artists that come through there.
You know, and if you've fully aged out of the partying scene and you just want to be a jazz dad, we've got a lot of that stuff going on in Pittsburgh now too. So.
Maybe we'll have you back for Jazz Dad another day. Colin, thank you so much. I hope that one day we make it out to something club adjacent at some point in the future.
Let's make it happen. Thanks again, Megan.
That's all for today here on CityCast Pittsburgh. After we interviewed Colin, he texts us one more pop-up party recommendation, slappers and bangers. If there's another spot that you love, we would love to hear about it. You can text us or leave a voicemail at 412-212-8893. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Talk to you soon.
I'm just really impressed at your ability to maintain focus and answer questions with a kitty tail swishing in your face every 4 seconds.
Sometimes he like knocks my glasses off too, and I'll just be sitting here with like my glasses all like cocked on my face.